Every entrepreneur has been there. Growing pains
obstacles make you
growth
stronger.
Gains.
It's the challenges that cause us to level up.
I'm your host, Alicia Dominico.
So you're really making sure that you're protecting your brand, your narrative, by making sure that the response is the way it needs to be. That's the curated part versus, you know, open AI where you're not sure what you might get. You could have some bad actors come in, right? And totally mess with your company.
Earlier this season of this podcast, we talked about AI for customer engagement and retention. Now we're going to tackle AI for two more areas of your business, marketing and customer service. Both have an effect on revenue growth. Right now, everyone is trying to connect to their customer, and they're looking to AI tools and bots as shortcuts to have more contact points with more customers faster and with less effort. Everyone is also spending a lot of time on administration and repetitive tasks that aren't the core of their jobs or that take a lot of time or that could be spent on higher value tasks. I get it. Who doesn't want to do more with the same amount of time? And the truth is, AI is absolutely helpful, but there are risks to consider too. Something that makes life easier for you might make things harder for your customer. We saw that with the first forms of AI bots that came out in the form of chatbots 6 or 7 years ago. Think of all those times you reached out to a company with a nuanced question only to get a canned response that doesn't answer it at all. It was a problem with call centers and scripted website bots, and it's still going to be a problem with bad AI. So what does good AI look like? And how can your business gain the time-saving benefits of AI for marketing and customer service routine actions without frustrating your customers and prospects? Let's get into it. One of Tangible Words' clients is doing a fantastic job giving businesses the benefits of AI without the risks. 42chat is the leading provider of curated conversational AI solutions and text-based AI chatbots. The keywords here are curated and conversational. But let's not forget that text as a channel has a 98% read rate. The problem is most people are starting to use SMS texting in the worst way possible that's making everybody hate it. But not 42chat. Let's hear what they're doing well. Whether your audience is a prospect looking for information on your company or a customer that needs help, these people have questions and they're dying to get answers to. Many want to ask those questions in a conversational way using a full sentence. 42chat's bots use AI that can understand the question no matter how it's phrased. They can have instant back and forth conversations that sound like a human, so nobody gets frustrated. Part of the reason why the conversation sounds so natural is because the bots give answers that are curated and pre-approved by each client who has the bot. As a business leader, you need to make sure that any AI tool you use allows for curation. Otherwise, you risk losing the prospect or the customer with a single wonky interaction. Your reputation is on the line. So how does 42chat make their AI as reliable as possible? How do they train it to deal with questions they didn't plan for? When is AI actually better than a human? Their director of customer success, Alyssa Mallory, agreed to pull back the curtain and answer these questions for us. Yeah, yeah. Alyssa says their company journey started back in 2016 when their founders saw an opportunity in a niche sector that can have hundreds of thousands of customer questions in 1 hour and zero the next day.
We started out with doing chatbots for events, because when you do an event, you can iterate on anything that you may have done right, may have done wrong, what can you improve upon, because they're just one after the other. And so once we figured out the magic juice behind it, then we could go back in and we could say, okay, what other industries could this work in? And customer service was one of them that was just, you know, a light bulb moment, because it said, you're staffing for all sorts of hills and valleys. So why not bring on a chatbot as a team member to answer those questions when you're busy doing something else? And so it just seemed like a perfect fit.
Tell everybody, what is conversational AI?
So conversational AI means that really no matter how you ask a question, you're going to get an answer. So I can ask the question by saying, you know, Wi-Fi, agenda, vacation time, whatever it might be, and get a response. But I can also say, hey, I just landed at the airport. I'm on my way. Can I still check in at registration? And the bot's still going to know how to respond, and it's going to respond naturally using natural language. So that's the essence of it.
And just to clarify for everybody who's listening who may not be so deep in the AI world, when we talk about natural language, what does that really mean? And you know, those examples that you just gave, one was like a very short phrase, like a keyword search. And another one was like, I'm speaking as if I'm speaking to a human, right? That was the difference between those two examples. Part of conversational AI is it doesn't matter how you phrase the question, it's going to get it. You can write the whole sentence or you can just write a keyword and it's going to be able to identify what it was asked.
Exactly.
And so the second part of what you said was this natural language response as to how it's going to curate that response back to the question it was asked as part of a conversation. Can you explain what that natural language piece is?
Yeah, so we use, like if I said to the bot, is there Wi-Fi? The bot's going to come back with, yes, we have free Wi-Fi. Here's the username and here's the password. And then somebody could say, thanks, that was helpful. And the bot will respond with, anytime, that's what I'm here for. So it feels like you're having a conversation with maybe someone at a help desk or someone on the call, but really it's all curated answers that, you know, the client has gone through and said, yes, this is how I want the bot to respond to that question, no matter how it's asked, whether it's asked with a keyword or it's asked with a full sentence.
And there's been a lot of conversation about the pros and cons of AI in the world right now. And one of the reasons why this is that better state, or maybe you should explain it, but I'm going to say one of the reasons this is one of that is that better state of AI is that there is this in-between world where you get to, there's more control of protecting the brand. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and the differences between the two types of AI and why that this is better than that?
Absolutely. So when you look at like ChatGPT, that's generative AI. It's only good until, what is it, 2021, I believe, the information that it's trained for. But it can be easily manipulated. So we did a little example in our company just to test it out to see if we could manipulate the responses we got. And I asked ChatGPT, I said, hey, when is this event? When did it happen? And it said, oh, it happened in February 2022 in Chicago. And I responded with, are you sure? I thought it was in Dallas. Then my coworker went in and said, when was this event? And it said, it was in Dallas. So we easily manipulated how the bot was going to respond. Where with what we're doing is the AI behind ours is the how you ask the question. So if no matter how I ask that question, I'm going to get a curated response that we've gone over that protects the brand. It protects the identity of the company. It's the same answer every time and cannot be manipulated. What can be changed is how that question is asked. So you're really making sure that you're protecting, you know, your company, your brand, your narrative by making sure that the response is the way it needs to be. That's the curated part versus, you know, open AI, generative AI, where you're not sure what you might get. You could have some bad actors come in, right? And totally mess with your company.
That's right. You could have some competitors come in and change the answer and sabotage what information comes up. And if you're hosting an event, which I know the 42 chatbots support a lot of events, if you're hosting an event, you don't want them getting the wrong Wi-Fi password. If they get the wrong answer, that is way, way worse than asking a question and not even getting an answer.
Right.
Do you want to talk about some of those particulars in example too? Because I know you guys do a lot of work around IDKs, I don't know, answers, and you really track to make sure that you're improving the bot for the customer brand. So maybe there's an opportunity to speak about that.
Yeah. So all of the responses that we have, as I mentioned, are curated. So we know what information is going to be responded with the bot. If a question is asked of the bot that it doesn't know, it simply comes back with, I'm sorry, I don't have the answer for that. Check back with me closer to the event, or for human support, contact so-and-so. So you're not leaving anybody hanging. They're still getting a good response. But then because all of those questions that are being asked are also being documented, we can go back after the event and say, you know what, you had a lot of people asking about You know, how can I buy coffee at the event? And that's not something that we train the bot on. Is it something you want to include next time? Absolutely. Let's take care of that. Let's train the bot. But we never leave it hanging. So we really try and make sure that we cover everything that the users want. And if we don't, we simply tell them I haven't been trained on that. And that's okay. People are good with that. It's kind of like going, you know, to Home Depot and you go down the aisle and you say, hey, do you have this? The person's going to say, I don't know. That's not my department. Let's go ask this other guy. That's kind of the same thing.
Love it.
And people are good with that as long as you don't leave them hanging.
And so tell me about the business problems you see being solved with this conversational AI. I know you do a ton of these retrospectives with clients that you're just describing where you go through and say what happened. I love the whole story around not leaving people hanging, which really means I was really angry in this session. I couldn't hear the guest speaker. And instead of that ad hoc, raise your hand, interrupt the speaker, tell them to turn up the volume or go touch the sound guy. It's like a message goes out from somebody sitting down in the middle of the aisle out to the bot addresses it, delivers it to the appropriate people. So, you know, there's always that opportunity for communication, even in those awkward social moments when you don't want to get up and move. And when you don't have the answer, there's all those things that could go wrong can be accounted for. But let's talk about some of these business problems that you're seeing get solved.
Well, you just brought up a really good one, and that's negative feedback. If the bot is available, people are more apt to tell the bot their problems than potentially going on social media and blasting it to the entire world. So then you're containing that negativity and can address it after the fact with that person because it's over SMS. I know who you are. We can address it. You know, I'm so sorry you had a hard time hearing the speaker. You know, we'll turn up the volume right now. But you're not throwing it on you know, the entire world to see that. We actually had an event that went totally sideways. It was a bad experience for everyone. And a lot of it was contained within the bot rather than it going out onto the internet and being negative towards the entire company, the organization, and everybody involved. We could contain it there.
And let's just clarify, you're talking about an instance where the event organizers really struggled to deliver an experience that people were happy with, and the attendees were angry. You know, you didn't give them lunch, guys, whatever it was. All of the complaints were contained within the bot.
Yes, sorry. So yes, everything was contained within the bot. Only a little bit leaked out into social media. The rest was, you know, served right in the bot. And then we could review it.
Instead of being a PR nightmare.
Exactly.
And you were going to give another instance there. Sorry, I interrupted you because I just wanted to get that clarified.
Oh, yeah. Because we use it as a conversational AI and we can also send notifications to everybody who's there. We've had instances where there's been an emergency on site and the event organizer was able to turn around and send a notification out to everybody at the event with information on how to proceed. I thought it was something we'd never, ever have to use. And I've actually used it 4 or 5 times with clients now. But we had an active shooter at one event. They went right on. They sent a notification out to everybody saying, hey, there is an active shooter. Everybody, please take cover. Everybody did. They kept in communication via the chatbot with all of their attendees, letting them know when it was clear. Are you safe? Here's what we're doing. You know, maintaining the safety of all of their attendees and yet getting them information because nobody's going to leave without their phone. And if the chatbot's on their phone, they didn't have to download anything. It's right there.
And the chatbot's on their phone automatically because they have text on their phone.
Yep. Nothing to download.
And that's the urgency, right? When there's an urgent matter, you're not checking your email.
Right.
You might be grabbing your phone and running, but you're not reading your emails. How many times have you missed a very important email because you were in a meeting, but you probably are seeing your SMS notifications?
Exactly. SMS has a 98% read rate. So you know they're at least going to glance at it. And if it's a trusted channel, because it's a chatbot that's provided accurate information about their event, because again, it's curated. So we know the information is accurate. Therefore, it can be trusted. They're going to take that information and that's what they're going to use to keep themselves safe. But other business problems range from anything from, you know, you have a temp staff that's coming to work your event and you've got, you know, 50 temps that don't know anything about your organization. If they have the chatbot at their fingertips, they can have the right answer too. So if somebody came up to the temp and said, hey, when is the general session? They could say, I don't know, but let's ask our chatbot, Joe. And ask the chatbot, get an answer. And so you're making sure that you're continuing to deliver the right message at the right time, the way you want it delivered.
to multiple people, not just your attendees and your customers. Do you need to get the right answer at the right time to them? But you can also get the right answer to your team and have immediate training available to them.
Absolutely.
There's another piece there that you were talking about earlier that I think is really important from an HR point of view that you've mentioned as a real business problem that can be solved. And that is the angry customer's effect on the work culture and the toxicity of that experience and how much you need to debrief afterwards. Because there are often, I mean, if you're having an event with thousands of people or even hundreds of people, there are going to be some interactions that not everybody on your team is already skilled at managing. And so having the bot be able to take off the weight of a lot of those interactions that they can still feel heard if they have a complaint or they have difficulty with something, but it's not so taxing on the actual staff that you have, including temps who will probably definitely not know how we handle situations like that, but actually your existing staff that you really want to protect and take care of, they can be protected by the bot handling a lot of those kinds of things that might have otherwise come up, or they might have seen the first person and just started laying into about now they have a different way to be heard that is more manageable. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the bots have also the ability for somebody to leave feedback. So you can actually leave feedback, like whether for HR it's something negative and you want a response, you can check a box that says, yes, I want you to follow up with me. I want you to, you know, take what I'm saying seriously, but I can just say, hey, I need to talk to somebody about this because it's conversational. The bot knows what they're asking. They can surface up a feedback link. Person can leave their feedback and say, yes, I want to follow up. And then you can take care of it. And then the person who's sending the feedback is like, okay, I've done what I need to do. Now I can go enjoy, you know, the rest of the party or whatever it may be because I've left my feedback. I've got it off my chest. I don't need to tell everybody around me.
That's amazing. And I think there's another thing that I wanted to talk about there that you brought up. I love the experience of shopping at Apple when I'm on the Apple store and I go in and I can immediately talk to a sales rep on text and say, is this that? Like if I buy this, do I get all of these features? And the way that they've set it up, it's a human who responds. Now that customer service piece is incredible, right? That you can do that at all hours of the day and they have that support. No small to mid-sized company is ever going to be able to repeat that scale. Almost every worldwide biggest companies in the world cannot reproduce that experience. But with 42chat, they can. Can you talk into that a little bit about how that scalability is there for smaller companies?
Yeah. So because we've done some research on, you know, what is your business problem? We're ensuring that we're trying to cover just about everything that you need covered in that business problem. So if somebody, you know, at midnight wants to know how to book their hotel, they can ask the chatbot, how do I book my hotel? They're given clear instructions on how to do it, probably even a link to go out and do that at midnight, where your staff is not going to be online at midnight. Or if you have a problem with registration, you know, how do I bring a guest? You can text the bot, I need to bring a guest. 2 a.m., bot tells you, you know, here's how you bring a guest to your event. So you're able to answer questions from hundreds and thousands of different people at the exact same time at any hour, you know, regardless. And then, you know, as we said earlier, after the fact, if it's an event, we can go back and look and see, you know, what did the bot know? Let's train it. Let's get it to know these things because your attendees want to know it, or, you know, your clientele want to know X, Y, and Z, which we haven't covered yet. So let's add that.
Let's also give some examples that are non-event because you work to answer these questions in the non-event. I mean, events are a huge deal for 42chat. Obviously, the scalability is just such an obvious answer. You've got exhibitors, sponsors, attendees, and your own staff that you need to be able to communicate with, as you said, any number of people at any point in the day, all at once, you know, thousands of conversations all at once that are protected and that you've approved. That's an amazing value proposition. But you're doing this at tournaments, which is a type of event. There's a whole bunch of other instances. Can you speak into the other instances where you're solving business problems this way?
Yeah, sure. So we've got, we have a client who has a wine company and they'd like people to know information about their wine. So they put a QR code on their wine and you can have a full conversation after scanning the QR code with the chatbot about the wine. Where can I buy it? You know, so that, you know, increases your sales, but What's the variety? How much does it cost? You know, what food does it pair with, well with? So you can actually have a full-on conversation with a chatbot about the wine that you might want to drink. So it's kind of fun.
That is fun and that is cool. I love that example. You also have, I'm just looking at, we've got conference bot, trade show bot, virtual event bot, member bot, exhibitor bot, health shield, grad bot, festival bot, attorney bot. All of those are pretty much event-based instances, right?
Right, right.
When we talk about the corporate one, it's like information right away on what you're looking to do. You've also got a feature, though, with voting. People can vote on things by phone. You've also got features with document uploads. I know you were using that a lot with Health Shield during COVID when people needed to show documentation. I don't know, are there any other cool instances like that that maybe aren't so event-based? I just want to get those out.
So we have a couple more. We had a client who was trying to onboard an entire agent group in a certain amount of time. They had to have, you know, 300 agents all ready to sell by June 1st. How are they going to get all of these people through 15 different things that they need to do to be ready to sell? So what we did is put together a chatbot. It sent out an initial notification saying, hey, welcome to our company. We're super excited to have you on board. Please complete this checklist by June 1st. So then they'd start going down the interactive checklist that was on the chatbot and check off things that as they did them. And then as they checked an item off, they'd get a text message. Thanks for completing the first step. Please do this now. And so it was just a one thing after another. And then in the background, the client could watch who's completed it, who hasn't, who needs a nudge, you know, who needs a high five, that kind of thing. Then we had another client in the health industry who's trying to use the bot for, you know, managing all of their open enrollment. How do I get agents information that they need about the plans and the providers? And so they use a chatbot. It's actually one of our longest running chatbots to get that information out to their agents.
All of that is fascinating and really good examples. We see customer success as a critical marketing funnel driver. So bringing in leads because you treat your customers so well, they'll refer you and they'll want to buy more from you. Every brand right now, especially in the age of AI, is investing in community departments. You know, you see HubSpot has hired on people who are now managing community. We had this for a while. I guess the trend was coming from social media and managing your community online with social media managers. That was, we've had that, you know, for the last 10 years where somebody needed to be online and managing your community online. Every company needs to have this community as we go forwards in the age of AI because of the maybe, I don't know if it's a fear, but there's a potential for so much anonymity that you don't have closeness with your customers. And in personalization. And I think one of the things that you've hit on today is that there is a really great opportunity to hug your customers closer with curated conversational AI that Fortitude Chat is doing and to manage your community better. And that is a really great force to put onto your flywheel in HubSpot's language about let's put force on keeping our customers happy so they refer us and let's put force on treating our net new leads really, really nicely so they want to work with us. So do you have any examples you can speak into there?
Yeah. So one of the things to think about is that, you know, your phone number is almost more important than any other piece of data that you have. Like it used to be your social security number, you know, when you wanted to hold that tight, you still do, but you wanted to hold that tight, but your phone number, that's like gold. If you can provide value information via text and the chatbots in that channel, you're going to create trust with your clients. Then you're going to create that community. And then you can continue to nurture them with, you know, more value-added notifications, more value-added curated responses. You can, you know, increase your sales. You can increase your... we had a client actually who sent out one text message and had $100,000 in ticket sales from that one text message because they had a trusted community that they were able to send one text to. And they're like, hey, I know who this is coming from. I know I can get information from this chatbot for other things, but holy cow, I've got a coupon code. I'm going to go buy tickets. And they sold $100,000 worth of tickets from that one thing because it was a trusted avenue.
Amazing. And, you know, one of the things that we've been talking about is how, as part of building that community, at Tangible Words, we talk all the time about the four progressions that of every relationship. Every single company has to have go from having no contact with somebody to having contact with them and getting them in their CRM. And then you've got to, so that's called connect, right? In 42 chat language, it's like, that's the first phase is how do you connect with people? How do you really bring them in? So I'm going to talk about the other two phases, but let's do that in stages. Let's just talk now that I framed that up. You know, this whole, how do I connect with people? How can conversational curated AI help me connect with people? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So if you're providing something valuable to them, they're going to keep connecting with you. They're going to ask the bot questions. They're going to trust your services. As long as you keep that powerful channel, you know, open to them, and they can opt out anytime. But if you keep that channel open to them and you give them information that's timely, that's accurate, that they can follow up on more and dive deeper into, you're going to keep that connection solid with them. You're going to be able to communicate with them. They can communicate back with you. You know, they can ask the bot questions. We can get them deeper into the bot. We can prompt them with more things that they might want to dive into that they didn't know before. Like, especially with notifications, we send out notifications that say, did you know that I can register you for your event? Did you know that we're having a sale next week? You know, those kind of things that really want to make them engage with you and remain connected.
And that's, you know, you were talking earlier about the importance of your phone number as being like this digital personal footprint. And I think that really dovetails into the connect. We talk a lot in business about providing something that's valuable, but what does valuable really mean? Nobody really knows, right? Like, you have to dispel it. But in the sense of the connect with the bot is essentially a phone number that anyone can text, and no one's going to give away their phone number for free. But once they can say, oh, I could actually ask the bot what to pack this weekend when I'm going my trip on Phoenix, it's like, boom, here you go. And the bot will tell you what to pack. If it's been trained on that, I understand. But that's right. Generally, there's a whole, you know, as a company, because you're so good at these bots, you have a whole suite of topics that, you know, people typically ask. So nobody has to brainstorm and come up with it. If they're just launching it, there's less of a creative burden there for sure. But you're able to actually say, these are the things that might come up. Let's actually get the bot trained on it. And then people are going to text this phone number, and they're going to give away their phone number because they're going to get value and they're going to want to talk to the bot because the bot is so helpful. So they will be connecting with you. So instead of a sort of like circa 2017, when you had to like have all these white papers that people could gate, you know, you could gate and have people go through the gate to collect their information. This is so much faster and easier of just like, no, I need that bot. I need that bot to tell me what to pack.
Right.
Let's talk about that second one, because you started to talk about the second phase, which is engage. They're going to want to stay engaged with you. And I know you guys have done a lot of work on trying to train your market, particularly in the event-based market, to don't just focus on your event in the middle of the year, or don't just focus on that one event you do every year. You should be keeping that community connected to you year-round, because you'll lose them to the next event if they're not aware of your dates, holding it in their calendar, continue to get value from you. Why would they come back to your event next year in September? So let's talk about some of those things that you guys are doing about engaging people and making sure that once you've connected with them and shown them preliminary value, you really lengthen the life cycle of a customer by continuously engaging them. So can you speak into some of those engagement examples further down the lifetime journey?
Absolutely. So you're absolutely right. When it comes to engaging your client, you don't want to engage them just before the event or at the event. You've got this open, trusted channel. Let's use that channel to continue to work with them throughout the year. So when we do a retrospective, when we come back after the event and we say, here's how the bot did, you know, here's the stuff that the bot knew, you know, it did awesome. Let's take it into, you know, a different mode. Let's now train it on marketing mode. So let's answer all the questions about your upcoming event. Let's answer all of the questions about maybe when abstracts are going to be due, or you know, when can I place my booth? When can I purchase my booth? That kind of thing. So let's touch them every couple weeks with just something that's valuable. You don't want to spam them. You don't want to send out, you know, 5 messages every week. You want to be really thoughtful about what kind of messages you want to send. And we really try and work closely with our clients to curate those notifications and also change up the responses in the bot to fit what we're going to be doing now. So it's not just about an event, or it's not just about, you know, say open enrollment. It's about the experience year round. So all of our bots run, you know, year round. They don't just stop after an event. They continue to go, and you can continue to market to people, providing them valuable information. And then, you know, you keep that trust with them as long as it's valuable information. We work closely with the clients to make sure that, you know, they're following great rules and that they're providing awesome value.
Yeah. And that's the key thing. I know you guys are great at pushing back and saying, no, that would be spammy. What would actually be valuable? Let's actually, because marketing can be very helpful. It can be very timely, and it's essentially what it's meant to be, but it does get a little bit corrupted when we're focused on ourselves instead of what our customers would want. And in some of the instances that you're just giving, it sounds like the bot can almost be a bit of a personal assistant in that sense, because it can say, hey, this is coming up. I know you were there, but if you want early bird pricing, you're going to need to take action before October 20th or whatever the date may be.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we often take, you know, everybody who attended your event, if they connected with the bot, let's make sure we send them something out about registration, give them that discount. And we call those prospecting for the next year. And then, you know, and then we can see how many people followed that link. We gave them a link to registration. We can tell the client how many people clicked on that link, and then they can go on their back end and say, well, what was the return on that? How many people actually purchased a registration or a ticket or, you know, a product, whatever it may be, based off of that one notification.
And the most obvious use case for me too is after an event that you go to annually, you always want to know what are the dates for next year, but you might not have heard the closing address. You might not have seen the website. You might not have read the email. These are all realities,
right.
You know, however unfortunate they are realities. But if you can say, hey, I hope you enjoyed the event, save the dates for next year. And oh, by the way, here's where you can book your hotel. It would be really nice if every event knew that at the end of their event for that year, but they often don't. Often it'll take them a couple of weeks to put that together post-conference. But because you have this way of communicating them with a 98% read rate, that's going to be valuable and not be perceived as spammy, because it's not going to be a long, long email. It's going to be a short text that gives them the information they need just in time. I think that is valuable. And everyone would agree it's valuable instead of it being you just thinking it's valuable.
Absolutely. And that's the beautiful thing about text is people aren't reading anymore. They don't read your emails. They don't go through your website and, you know, try and hunt down what they're looking for. They want something short, fast, instant. They want it at their fingertips. Text provides that, you know. So if they're not reading their emails, try sending them a text. Try the chatbot.
And the other thing is that the community is so diverse. Your community of how they engage and how they read. I mean, there are still a lot of emails that I read and a lot of websites that I read, but I think that there are, you know, the bigger thing is that you need to be multi-channel, just as you've been multi-channel with social media and emails. You haven't really given up on any of those things. You still have a website, but now you can actually still deliver just-in-time information. And even better, we saw with the advent of search, people just want to ask their questions and get an immediate answer. And we're used to that way of communicating. So being able to ask an immediate question to this phone number that can then answer it for you is hugely valuable, because it is their expectation in terms of how they're engaging with other questions they have.
Absolutely. And to your point is to meet them where they're at. Meet your clients where they're at. Whatever channel they're in, you know, meet them there. If they're in web, awesome. If they're in email, great. If they're on SMS, we gotcha.
And then I'm going to let you go, but the last section is this fund or sell, right? The third stage, and this lines up with our process, every single company is either got to fund an event or fund this thing that they're doing, or they've got to sell. And you gave the example already of the ticket sales and being able to say, hey, here's this thing. We've been talking about registration. Hey, here's this early bird pricing that's going to expire soon. Is there anything else that the bot is doing in terms of helping you fund your initiatives or sell something?
So the bot can also have sponsorships in them. So you could have your chatbot sponsored, or you can drive revenue to a sponsor. So if somebody's sponsoring the bot, you can say, hey, come check us out at this booth to find out more about our awesome sponsor.
And that can be valuable because you're saying thank you to the sponsor. Instead of just spamming them, you're saying, hey, we're really grateful that we're able to be here because of Tangible Words. Come on down and see this thing they have, this cool demonstration they have for you. But you want to really kind of advise them on the use case of that because you are using SMS. It's going to be limited to your sort of more exclusive sponsors.
Absolutely. Or even in the chatbot, you know, we can train our chatbots to say, hey, this is Tig from Tangible Words, you know, brought to you by Tangible Words, or, you know, something like that. There's so many different ways that you could thank a sponsor and still get their name out there to that trusted community that, you know, says, oh, if Tig says it's great, then I should also, you know, I should go check them out because I'm getting great information from Tig, you know.
Tig being the little bot's name and avatar. Cute.
You got to give your bot a name and an avatar because that really creates familiarity and trust. People start seeing the bot as their know-it-all best friend.
Well, they can save it in their contact, right?
And they can save it in their contact.
Now it's a person, right? Like now it's valuable. It's like, oh, I'm just going to ask Tig.
Yep, I'm going to ask Tig because Tig provides the answers and I always get the right answer from Tig.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Alyssa. It's just great to hear you explain and talk passionately about these things that everybody's wondering how to do, but worried about doing it well. And it seems like at Fortitude Chat, you found a way to do it really, really well as we measure between AI that got launched and isn't right great yet for your brand and isn't quite great yet for the functionality. But this is AI that's conversational AI, and it's curated for your brand to protect it, to satisfy your customers and everybody who's involved with your brand, to build up that community, to help you connect with people in a valuable way, engage them, and then fund or sell whatever that thing is that you're doing next.
One of the many things I respect about Fortitude Chat is that they actively avoid being spammy. SMS is an emerging and potentially powerful marketing channel since it does have a 98% read rate. But what I don't like seeing is people who don't have permission just checking in on my SMS channel. That is annoying. We will start marking all of those people as spam and they will never get the chance to hit us again because the anti-spam laws on texting are way more stringent than we've ever seen before on other tools like email. And the other problem is that people think they're being valuable by just checking in and they're actually annoying the prospect and the customer. And it's not valuable. Few companies have a good concept of what it means to check in a valuable way with your customer. Few companies have a good understanding of what it means to be valuable at each stage of the buyer's journey with their audiences, but not Fortitude Chat. They have a great understanding of what would be valuable and what would make that two-way engagement channel stand out from every other self-serving interaction that other sales teams and companies are making with their audience. It's pretty powerful stuff. Coming back to the AI part of Fortitude Chat's approach, having control over the inputs, being able to pre-approve answers goes a long way towards protecting your brand. You don't have to worry about it as much, whether the technology is going to feed your customers information that's totally off base or wrong. And you can rest assured that if a user finds a gap in the bot's knowledge, they're not going to be frustrated or disappointed. Fortitude Chat is a great example of a company that's using AI in a controlled and responsible way. It's when we don't know the cause and effect of AI that I think we all get really nervous. We don't know where it's originating from. We don't know how it's being managed. We don't know who's going to be responsible or seeing it for the changing of the message. We don't know how it's going to actually be managed at all. When we can't see that, there's a lot of fear around it. But when you know, hey, this is something that's going to actually give me the promise of AI to make my life easier, but it's going to be controlled, it's going to be conversational, it's going to be observable in terms of how people interact with it, and I can immediately fix it to give a better reaction. Now we're like, okay, I feel a little bit better about this thing.
Find more episodes of the Company Growth Podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've got a company growth story you'd like to share, reach out to Tangible Words. We'd love to hear your story and use it to inspire others to beat their own company growing pains. Until next time, thank you for listening to the Company Growth Podcast.